After the song service and numbers by the choir and this last song, I sat there wishing I could step into Brother Clyde Hancock's body for just a little bit, get as excited as he does sometimes. I can just envision him sitting during the singing of these services and like to get excited like that. Before we read our text, I do want to express my appreciation to the church for the kindnesses that have been shown us, the hospitality that has been extended, and all the needs you have met for us, and those who have fed us in their homes or taken us out. We just appreciate all of those kindnesses and pray God would richly bless you for them. Do appreciate this church, her pastor and pastor's wife, and have thoroughly been blessed and enjoyed the week. Hebrews chapter 12, let's read verse 1 through 4. Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We have a very simple message tonight, a message that I would venture to say every pastor, every preacher here has probably preached in some form or another. It is the message that we couldn't get away from. We knew it was the Lord's will. And so we're going to stop fighting the Lord and preach the message he's given us. But here in verse number 2, I just want to draw your attention to those first three words. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. You know, there isn't a problem represented in this room tonight. There isn't a heartache represented here tonight. There's not a sin debt. There's not an illness. There's not a spiritual condition or a physical condition or a mental condition that cannot be fixed by looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. We've heard songs tonight about being a friend to Jesus. And we're bad friends to him. But he's always the best of friends to us. And the King is coming, and that King is Jesus Christ. And we want to look this evening at the need for people to look unto Jesus. To just get face to face with Jesus Christ. And what should be the result if we really looked at Jesus Christ. If we really got a glimpse of Jesus Christ tonight, what would it do to our homes? What would it do to our churches? What would it do to our lives? If we could get our eyes off of one another, if we could get our eyes off of some false standard that we set or some other human being set, if we could just get our eyes and face to face look at Jesus Christ, oh, what that would do to Home Baptist Church and every Baptist church represented here. Oh, what could be fixed and what could be changed and what would happen in this old sinful world if we could just get a glimpse of Jesus Christ tonight.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus. I want to first of all think about us as children of God and what looking to Jesus will do for a Christian. You can spend all of your time looking at your problems. You can spend all of your time looking at the molehills that have come into your life. You can look at your illnesses. You can look at your problems and your heartaches. And as you look at them, they grow and they grow and they grow until you feel like you're buried by them. Or you can choose tonight to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. And all those things will come into perspective. There's not a problem we're facing as people and as children of God that looking to Jesus Christ will not solve tonight. You're not facing anything that looking to Jesus Christ won't fix. Getting a glimpse in your mind's eye, getting a glimpse in your heart's eye of Jesus Christ tonight can fix whatever's wrong with you, my Christian friend, and me. I want you to look to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts, the 7th chapter. We have the record here of the stoning of Stephen. Stephen's being executed by having rocks pitched at him for preaching the gospel and preaching Jesus Christ, speaking the truth, suffering for it. In verse 51 of Acts 7 here, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." Look at verse number 55. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." What are you facing tonight, Christian friend? What are you facing tonight, church member? What are you facing tonight, true born-again believer in Jesus Christ? What has come against you? What has come into your life? What is burdening you? What is stressing you? What is breaking you? What is stressing you? Look tonight to Jesus Christ. Get your eyes on Jesus Christ tonight. Get your eyes on the One who died for your sins. Get your eyes on the One who is interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. Get your eyes on the King that is coming. And then see what that does to your problems and what it does to your suffering. Here's a man who is about to be stoned to death. I can't imagine being stoned to death. I can't imagine having my blood shed for simply preaching Jesus Christ. Here's a man about to be stoned to death for preaching Jesus Christ. And in the Holy Spirit, he looks up and God grants him a vision of Jesus Christ. What would you do? Well, if you got a vision of Jesus Christ, you'd do the same thing Stephen did. You'd be able to take it. He'd be able to bear it. Let's get our eyes off of our calamities and our problems and our heartaches, and let's get our eyes tonight upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the great physician to our illnesses, the healer, the one who calms the storms. I see Jesus Christ. Verse number 56, and he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He saw the Lord Jesus Christ as they threw those stones, and those stones began to strike him, and he began to lose his life to this persecution. He called upon the one he saw, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was there, and Jesus Christ was real. You may have called on every human resource there is, but Christian friend, have you called upon Jesus Christ tonight? You may have told your heartache and your problem to everybody you know, but have you told it to Jesus Christ? You may have gone to the doctor and you've heard what the doctor has to say and you've consulted with them, but have you consulted with Jesus Christ tonight? Folks, He's there. He's real. He's not imaginary. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for me and for you. Look at Jesus Christ tonight. What do you have facing you tonight that Jesus Christ can't handle? Jesus Christ can't fix, or Jesus Christ can't give you the grace to keep on plodding forward. Jesus Christ is there. We memorize Psalms 23, but do we really claim Psalms 23? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want." He's my shepherd. That means He's there when I need Him. He cares when I need Him. He's there, folks. Go back and revisit Psalms 23. And if He truly is your shepherd, claim those things. Go to Jesus Christ. Get a glimpse of Him. He really does care for His people. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Not only does the Christian, the child of God, need to look unto Jesus Christ, but the worshiper needs to look unto Jesus Christ. We've assembled here in this place tonight not to get this part over with so we can run over here and eat. We've assembled here to worship. But how many of us, in preparation of worship and all of the hustle and bustle of our schedules, how many of us got a glimpse of Jesus Christ? Came into His blood-bought church thinking about Him, praying that He would be glorified. There's nothing wrong with our worship that a glimpse of Jesus Christ won't fix. Folks, I say it often, and I'm going to continue to say it as long as it continues to be true. We've got a real problem with worship in our Baptist churches. There's a ball game atmosphere. There's an irreverent spirit in our services. There's commotion and there's things going on in our services that I can look back over my life and I can remember a day when those things weren't there and there was a reverence for the house of God and there was a reverence for the Word of God. There was a reverence for the man of God. There was a reverence for the singing of God's praises. And now we chew our bubble gums and we clip our fingernails and we come with our cell phones and our alarm clocks to tell us, beep, 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 preachers preach too long. We wonder why we don't feel the presence of Jesus Christ. It's because we don't see Jesus Christ in our services. Look here in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. If there's anything we need, it's to get in the Spirit. And to do it on the Lord's day. His Spirit on His day. That'll fix our churches. I heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira, and unto Sardis and Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps, with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I was in the Spirit. It was on the Lord's day. I was worshiping the Lord. I was in the Isle of Patmos because of persecution. I was in the Spirit worshiping him. And I heard the Lord say, I am Alpha and Omega. When was the last time you sat in a church service and you heard the Lord Jesus Christ say, I am the King of Kings. Amen. And you sang to praise Him. Amen. And you opened your Bible just to hear the preacher preach about Jesus Christ and His great Word. John says, I turned and I saw Him. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. We need to see Jesus Christ in our worship services. Baptist churches don't need anything new. They just need to get back to doing things right. We don't need strange fire. We don't need new fire. We don't need the gimmicks and the gags of this world. What we need is to get back to catching a glimpse of Jesus Christ when we assemble together. Listening intently to the Word of God with reverence and respect to hear what God has to say and to catch a glimpse of Jesus Christ. We can go and we can sit down in front of the television and we can sit there for hours on a time. But we can't sit through a single worship service without running around to the potty room two or three times. Amen. It's like the preacher can preach and we don't need the whole message. We'll get 5 minutes here and when we get back we'll get 10 more minutes, and when we get back the next time we'll get a little bit of that, and then we wonder why we don't see Jesus. When a church exercises the authority the Lord has given it to set a time that the worship service starts. Folks, that's when worship starts. Amen. With the first song, including every prayer, to the preaching of the whole message. Amen. No set time to end. The Spirit of God works and the services come to a close. Then they end. But coming, seeking a glimpse of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to see Jesus Christ in our worship. Look back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse number 18. He is the head of the body, the church, the ecclesia, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, not some things, not most things, but in all things, He is to have the preeminence in our services. Jesus Christ, God has allotted, God has chosen that Jesus Christ is to be seen in our praying. He is to be seen in our singing. He's to be seen in our preaching. Lost folks ought to see Jesus Christ. They ought to see Jesus Christ in us, living within us. They ought to feel the presence of Jesus Christ. Does Jesus Christ have the preeminence in our thoughts? Does Jesus Christ have the preeminence in our coming together? Is everything we do for Jesus Christ? Matthew 18:20 tells us, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. How many of us would be late? How many of us would be irreverent? How many of us would walk in and out on the person who signs our paycheck? Or on the President of the United States or the governor of the state where we live? Oh, that would be disrespectful. What does it show to Jesus Christ, who says where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst? Folks, Jesus Christ is here tonight. If He's not here, we're wasting our time. We might as well go home. If we're not here to meet with Him, not with each other, but with Him, we might as well not be here. We're here to give Him the preeminence. We're here to meet in His presence. We're here to feel His presence. Do you see Jesus Christ when you worship? Do you catch a glimpse of Him in all of His glory when you come together? Some may, but do all God's people? Then I want you to look to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Read verse 31. Start there. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Remember the day you were saved, Christian friend? The promises, the vows, the zeal. You were ready to, as they say, charge hell with a squirt gun. I mean, if the devil stood there incarnate and you could physically see him, you remember the day you were saved, you would have said, come on. Much like Peter. Peter said, I'll die with you, Lord. Jesus said, no, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. Peter was probably offended at that. Not me. I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to become cold and indifferent. I'm not going to find myself warming my hands by the enemy's fire. You're not going to find me missing church. You're not going to find me missing prayer meeting. You're not going to find me missing Sunday school. Not me, Lord. You won't find me being untrue to my baptism vows and promises. You won't find me dressing ungodly. You won't find me taking my clothes off before the world. You won't find me being untrue. You won't find me being unfaithful. You won't find me cursing. You won't find me doing vulgar habits. You won't find me, Lord. Oh, no, not me. Well, what did Peter do? Same thing a lot of God's people do. What fixed Peter, though? What fixed this old backslidden guy named Peter? Look over, if you would, to verse 54. Then took they and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. You following the Lord afar off? Not near what you were the day the Lord saved you? Maybe you were just saved a couple months ago. Maybe you were saved just a couple years ago. Maybe you've been saved 20, 30, 40 years. But you're following the Lord afar off? Going through the motions? Got everybody fooled that you're the model Christian, but you know in your heart you're cold and you're indifferent and you're apathetic to the things of God? You know, maybe nobody else does, but you know you're out of the will of the Lord. You know you've been out of the will of the Lord. And you know you've been there for years, but nobody else knows it. Are you following the Lord afar off? You're sitting there on your pew of self-righteousness, thinking about all things you used to do? How you used to serve the Lord? How you used to do all these things for the Lord? But now, where are you? You're following the Lord afar off? Let's just speed through here. And we see the denial of Peter exactly as the Lord said. Verse 16, and Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Jesus didn't have to preach a sermon. Jesus didn't have to point a finger and say, "Shame on you." Peter started following the Lord afar off, cursed and carried on. "I don't know the Lord. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not identified with Him." All Jesus had to do was turn and look at Peter. And let me tell you something. If you're here tonight and you're truly saved, I mean, you've truly been born again. I don't care how cold. I don't care how backslidden. I don't care how many years it's been. I don't care what you used to do and what you're not doing now. If you'll look at Jesus Christ tonight and you'll truly look at Him face to face, you'll be convicted. Because you can't look at perfection and not understand your own imperfection. You can't look at Jesus Christ and not see what's lacking and what's wrong in your life. And it's just a look at Jesus Christ that'll fix all the backsliding. You know, people want to argue about terms. "Well, I don't believe in backsliding. It's not taught in the Bible." Well, folks, we're to be going constantly closer to Jesus Christ, progressively becoming conformed to Him. I don't care what you want to call it. If somehow or another you've leveled off and you've stopped becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, call it whatever you want to. But look at Jesus Christ and tell me Jesus Christ is pleased. Is Jesus Christ pleased with us, whatever we call it? If we're not what we ought to be right now at this moment, the King is coming. And He's not going to say, "Congratulations, you used to be the great Christian." Well, the Bible says there's going to be some that is coming who are going to be ashamed. Ashamed because at the moment of His coming, they weren't ready and they weren't right. It doesn't matter if you serve the Lord 20, 30, or 40 years. If you're not serving Him when He comes, you're not going to be pleasing to Him. You can't rest on your laurels with the Lord. Paul didn't say, "Boy, I've come a long way, but, you know, 2 or 3 months ago I quit." He says, "I've finished the course. I've kept the faith." Get a glimpse of Jesus Christ tonight, backslidden, cold, indifferent Christian, church member, and tell me, What does Jesus Christ think of our life? What does Jesus Christ think of us? Our definition of Christianity. Look over to Acts chapter 9. Acts the 9th chapter. Begin reading with verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Not why persecutest thou the church? Not why are you persecuting those Christians? He heard a voice that said, why are you persecuting me? Me. That me is Jesus Christ. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Jump over to verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, he's a brother now. Something happened to this religious man. This devoted religious man. Indications in Scripture are you could not find a more religious man than Paul at his time. Ananias went his way and entered into his house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way. What did Paul see on the road to Damascus? He saw Jesus Christ. Paul was a religious man. Paul was a deceived man. I think we have a lot of deceived people in our Baptist churches. And they rest in their experiences. They rest in the fact that when they were little, they walked a church aisle and they had an emotional experience but never really saw Jesus Christ. Mommy and daddy convinced them maybe they were saved. Some preacher may have talked them into it. Some slick Willie who used easy believism asked two or three questions, said, you're saved, let's get you up in the waters of baptism. Let me tell you something. If you're here and you think you're saved, take a good hard look at Jesus Christ. And you'll find the answer. You'll find the answer. Are you trusting a sentimental moment? Are you trusting an emotional moment? Or do you really know there was a time when you saw Jesus Christ? Amen. But I'm a church member. You weren't more religious than Paul was. Paul was educated. He had degrees in his religion. And it was the religion of Israel. He believed in the same God that you and I believe in. He thought he was doing God's service. But when he saw Jesus Christ, he realized he didn't have real salvation. And the thing he was fighting against suddenly became something he wanted to join. And he wanted to work for. It was all about looking at Jesus Christ. Look at Jesus Christ tonight. Young person, old person, church member, used to be church member. Somebody who says, I don't need church, but you want to sit there and say, I'm a Christian. Take a good hard look at Jesus Christ and see if you come away with that same answer. When you look at Jesus Christ, you're going to realize that you're a sinner. As the song we just heard from our brother, you're going to realize that it was all of grace. And you're going to be able, let's not say you have to remember the exact date, though I think it's most likely you will. But if you've ever truly been saved, you're going to remember a moment when you saw your sins. Young or old, you saw yourself as a sinner. And then you saw Jesus Christ having died for those sins. Remember that glorious day? You can fake religion. You can fake baptism. You can fake church membership. You can fake everything there is in Christianity. You can fake everything there is in our ranks as Baptists. But in your heart of hearts, you can't fake whether or not you've ever seen Jesus Christ as your Savior. And a glimpse of Jesus Christ tonight will fix what's wrong with you, and you'll no longer be a professor, you'll be a possessor of Jesus Christ. You see Him? But I did this, but I... No, do you see Jesus Christ? Do you see Him there on the cross having died for your sins? If He didn't die for anybody else in this room, can you say, I see the fact that He died for me? Can you see Him there at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for you? Can you see Him coming again for you? The King is coming, folks. Closer than ever before, the King is coming. Is He coming for you? That's where the rubber hits the road tonight. Jesus Christ comes tonight. He's not coming for the religious. He's coming for the saved. Amen. Better read there in the book of Thessalonians. When those trumpets start sounding, the whole world isn't going to be hearing them. Only the saved are going to be hearing them. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together forever with them in the air. All the religious folks are going to be left behind. Let me tell you something. If the Lord comes on a Sunday night, you know what? Churches are still going to be filled on Sunday morning. Got quiet there for a split second. If Jesus Christ comes on a Saturday night, the churches are going to be filled on Sunday morning because the churches of this world don't know the Jesus Christ of this Bible. And if you read the Bible right, you're going to find out it's going to be the religionists that are going to play a key role in saying, no, everything's okay. We're still here. Nothing to be alarmed about. No rapture. There's an explanation for all these missing people. Nothing to be alarmed about. We're still going to have church on Sunday morning. But the true believers, those who've really seen Christ, there they go. Could be tonight. Before you ever get out there to eat any of the food that's been fixed tonight, Jesus Christ could say, come and dine. Come and dine. Looking at Jesus Christ, the saved, will save those who have nothing more than religion. So often it's read, but I remind you of Matthew 7, where the religionist and the so-called spiritual people come before the Lord saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things? And He's going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Do you know Jesus Christ tonight? Do you have something more than just a religious experience? Do you have something more than just a shell? Do you really have an experience where you saw Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I'll just say this as nicely as I can. Religion is going to make hell that much hotter to somebody who spends all their life being religious but have never seen Jesus Christ. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. You spend your years and years and years hearing the gospel, putting on a facade, putting on a show. All of those opportunities and all of those preachings and all of those words are only going to fall back in judgment upon you. Read the Bible, folks. It's there. We're going to be judged by everything this book says, every time we're preached to, every time we read it, every time those precious words come into our ears, God's going to hold us accountable. You need to see Jesus Christ. You don't need to run. You need to see Jesus Christ. You don't need to flee. You need to run to see him dying for your sins. Revelation chapter 6 says that during the time of tribulation, they're going to cry out, "Hide us." Who are they going to want to be hid from? Revelation chapter 6. And the kings of the earth, verse 15, and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and the every bond man and every free man hid themselves in dens and in the rocks and in the mountains and said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall upon us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb of God." Tribulation period is going to be when God pours out His wrath upon this earth for their rejection of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen. And Jesus Christ is going to be seen. And here we see these lost folks running. Hide us from Him! See, now is the time to see Him as Lord. Now is the time to see Him as Savior, as the gracious Lamb. Amen. The one who says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden." But you wait too late, and there's coming an hour when you're going to run also. I don't want to see him. I know what the consequences are now. Look at 1 John 3. The child of God needs to look to Jesus, see Jesus Christ. Whatever you're troubled with, whatever you're facing, illness, spiritual problem, financial problem, personal problem, home problems, just go to Jesus Christ. Commit it to Him. He's there. When we worship, we need to get back to looking to Christ, not at each other. Amen. Not at some false standard, but really looking and measuring all things by Jesus Christ. If you're here, you're cold and you're indifferent and you're backslidden, doesn't matter what you used to do, but right now you know you're not doing what you ought to be. Look at Jesus Christ tonight. If you're truly saved and you truly see Him, you'll not be able to stay in that condition. If you're here and you're deceived, you know in your heart of hearts, if you were to die at this very moment, you have no assurance of heaven. Look to Jesus Christ. May God grant you the ability to have your heart open and say, "I'm a sinner. Praise God, Jesus died for my sins." Amen. Don't sit there and rest on your laurels or your experiences. You can't say you've genuinely had a salvation experience with Jesus Christ. Look to Him tonight. If you're here and you're lost, look to Jesus Christ. Before, as they do in the book of Revelation, you run and say, "I can't see him now, it's too late." Last of all, you know those who are raptured out of here at the coming of Christ are going to look to Jesus. 1 John 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are ye the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a day, the King of Kings. The King is coming. Those trumpets are going to sound, and we're going to go up. But only those who have seen him. You look at verse number 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." It's not a case of waiting until you got enough facts to say, "Okay, now I'm going to accept him. Oh, I hear those trumpets. I guess now's a good time to get saved." No. You receive, you see Christ now. Now you are the Son of God. Now you're saved or you're not saved. And it's what you are right now that determines whether or not you see him when he comes in the air. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Jesus Christ is coming. Look at the newspaper. Watch the news. Every indication says the Bible's right. This book is just accredited every time you look at the world events. Every time you look at the Middle East, it all says the Bible is true. The religious say, no, Jesus ain't coming. That isn't what the Lord meant. But the Bible says He's coming. And all world events point to the fact He's coming. Oh, I've heard about that all my life. I remember as a little boy or a little girl hearing about that. He still hasn't come. He's still coming. Are you going to see Him? Not if you haven't looked unto Him now. This world is filled with hurting, needing people. This room tonight is filled with hurting, needing people. People who need physically, people who need spiritually, people who need healing, people who need help with their personal life, people who need help with their home life, people who need help with their professional life. And looking to Jesus Christ tonight and really getting a glimpse of Him will fix everything that's wrong here tonight. And if you're just weary, looking to Jesus Christ will put a spring back in your step. If you've never truly been saved, looking to Jesus Christ will put you among the ranks of the truly saved. Look to Jesus Christ tonight. Look to Him. Look to Him there as He died upon the cross for sinners. Look to Him as He intercedes there for His people and He provides grace and help for us in the time of need. Look and see Him as the High Priest. Look and see Him as the coming King. And when you look, the Spirit of God tells you to act. Act. Look unto Jesus. And then do what you see and what you know you need to do. It'll put your life right on course. Look unto Jesus. Thank you.